As we again take up the series of messages which we have entitled Christ or the Master in the Midst, our text for this morning in Matthew 18 and verse 20, we find the Lord Jesus making reference to himself being in the midst. And the Lord says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We have in the verses preceding our text the first church meeting mentioned in the New Testament. Verse 17, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." The reference here, of course, is to a matter of discipline, which had to be carried out by the church court. The Savior points out that whatever decision is made by the church on earth, that decision is recorded and bound in heaven. Now this shows us how closely heaven attends to the matters involving his church and individual congregations here upon earth. What is carried on, what is done in a church or a congregation, is recorded in heaven. God takes note. The Lord then moves on to speak about the church prayer meeting. And that's what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with the church prayer meeting. He says in verse 19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." And here we see in this verse that Christ exhorts the church to pray. "For this is surely a word of exhortation. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask." It's an exhortation to come before God and ask. And that's what prayer is. It is an asking. An asking of the Lord. Now it is interesting where the Lord, in this message, where the Lord dealt with prayer. Just following a matter concerning discipline. And when it comes to church having to deal, the elders of a church having to discipline someone, prayer is offered to the Lord before discipline is meted out. Prayer is offered for the one who is and has been disciplined. And prayer ought to be offered after the discipline. And here the Lord deals with discipline and then he mentions prayer after. And so when the discipline has been meted out, there ought to be prayer on behalf of the person who has been disciplined, that the Lord perhaps in grace will retrieve them, that through the discipline they will be challenged about their sin that led to the discipline, and that they might return to the Lord. And so it is important to pray with regard to these matters when the verdict is reached by the court of the church. And so we see from the Lord's words, the church is exhorted to pray. And then you'll notice also the church is expected to pray. The Lord expects his churches to hold prayer meetings. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking about the church. We have seen that in verse 17. And in verse 19 he says, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three shall ask, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. He's talking about the church prayer meeting, and so he expects the church to pray. He expects his congregations to have prayer meetings. And that is why we as a church have our prayer meetings. Before the services on the Lord's Day. And of course our weeknight, midweek prayer meeting. He expects us to pray. He expects us to pray as individuals. He expects us to pray as an assembly of believers. This is what the Lord expects of his children. And so he exhorts the church to pray. He expects the church to pray. Notice the words. Again, I say unto you. And so this wasn't the word of Peter or James or John. This wasn't the word of some other of the disciples. This was the word of the Lord. I say unto you. And here we see the Lord is saying to the church, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, where two and three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is what the Lord is saying. It's not the word of the preacher. It's the word of the Lord. And so we see that the Lord exhorts his churches to pray. The Lord expects his churches to pray. The Lord encourages his churches to pray. Again, verse 19. This is an encouragement. Look at the words. Would this not encourage us to pray as a church? Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. There's an encouragement. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now we are to pray alone, certainly. We're to go into the closet and pray and unburden our hearts to the Lord. But here you see one of the advantages of coming together to pray. Because the Lord Jesus says, if two of you. Now whenever we're praying alone, obviously it's just the one of us. But when we come together to the church prayer meeting, there's more than one. And when we get together for prayer, the Lord says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. This is surely an encouragement for us to come together to pray. Because when we listen to one another pray, then we hear one another's burdens. And we can pray for that brother or that sister. And we can say, brother or sister, through our prayers, I agree with you. I agree that that soul should be saved. I agree that that need should be met. And the Lord says, if two of you agree, it shall be done of your Father which is in heaven. So you see the benefit of coming together as a church family to pray. What an encouraging word this is for all who have an interest in the church prayer meeting. We come together to pray, and the Lord says, when you come together, and two of you agree in one particular matter, and you ask about that matter, then it will be done of your Father which is in heaven. That ought to encourage us. I read last week of a minister, a bishop, if that tells you the church he was from. And there's a photograph of him standing in his long robes. And he has a bunch of £10 notes in his hand. And the caption had to do with how this minister or this bishop would get people into his services. He made the promise that whoever thanks service, he'd give them all £10. And of course the photograph was of this bishop standing a handful of £10 notes and a whole line behind him waiting to collect their £10. And I thought to myself, how pathetic. I thought to myself, well, it's probably the only way he can get people into his church. Because he has nothing else to give them. He encouraged them to come to his church by promising them money. And how pathetic is that? That you have to give people money to encourage them to come to a Thanksgiving service and give thanks to God. You have to be paid to give thanks to God. Well, here the Lord says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, talking to the church, he says, if you come together to pray and you ask, whatever you ask, and there's two of you agree in that matter, it shall be done for them. There's the encouragement we need. It's not £10 or $10. In actual fact, what the Lord said here, it's like God giving to us a blank check. That's better than £10. He gives us a blank check and he tells us to fill it in. And God has already signed it. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. Anything. £10 isn't going to buy anything. It'll buy something. But it's not going to buy anything. But here the Lord says, if you come together to pray, and there's two of you and you agree on the matter, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. It shall be. Of my Father which is in heaven. And so here is a far greater incentive to attend the house of God. A far greater incentive to attend the place of prayer when we receive a promise like this. No greater encouragement could be given to God's people. No greater encouragement can be given to us by the God of heaven. But even better than that, even better than that, we look at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You talk about encouragements to come to pray and to attend the church prayer meeting. The Lord says, if you gather together in my name, I'll join you. I'll be there in your midst. And my, that's surely an encouragement, an incentive. When we go up to the church prayer meeting, we can say, well, we're going to the prayer meeting tonight because the Lord has promised he'll be there. We want to meet with him. My, have we said on Wednesday night, we're going to have a world-renowned preacher. I would think we would have a few more than we usually have on a Wednesday night. But the Lord says, I'll be there. That's better than any world-renowned preacher. I'll be there. And if we're talking about a preacher, well, the Lord is the greatest preacher who ever lived. For it is said of him, never man spake like this man. And he's here on a Wednesday night, and each time we meet for prayer. And remember, the Lord takes note of what takes place in his churches and his congregations. We have seen that. What is bound on earth is bound in heaven. The Lord takes note. What is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. God is aware. So he's aware of the prayer meetings. And having the Lord Jesus in the midst of the church prayer meeting is a blessing beyond compare. And so here we have another occasion when we have the Master in the midst. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now this morning I just want to look at the assembly. It's not a big assembly. Just two or three. That'll be our focus for this morning. The assembly. The Lord said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now he speaks about a very small assembly. Two or three. Two or three I mentioned during the week. And I shared this with the Reverend Kenny as well. That as I was studying this portion last week, now it's a well-known portion of Scripture, well-known verse. We've often quoted it in our prayer times. But as I got down to study it, I was greatly encouraged in my own soul. I felt this was a word for us. And I thought to myself, this is a word for all of us here in our church in Port Hope. It was a word for me. When I read there, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. Two or three. And we who come on a Wednesday night to pray know how many come. And so here's a word for us. And I thought to myself, I can't wait to get to the prayer meeting or to the service on the Lord's Day to share this word with my congregation because it's a word of encouragement for us here. It's a word of encouragement for all little flocks that meet together for prayer. It's a word of encouragement for all of our pioneer works. The works that start out small are maybe the pattern. The works that start out with a goodly number and then over the months and the years that number dwindles away when people realize there's a price to be paid. There's a stand to be taken. So I felt this is a word for us. This is a word for all small works. It's a word from the Lord. Look at it again. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's the purpose of this assembly. The purpose of this assembly, where two or three are gathered together. What to do? Of course, to pray. Isn't that what it says in verse 19? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. That's prayer. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Prayer is simply asking. The Lord on other occasions said in Luke 11 verse 9, ask and it shall be given you. In John 14 verses 13 and 14, the Lord said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why, we couldn't have a better incentive or encouragement, word of encouragement, than this. And who's he talking to? Two or three? The Lord speaks about asking and receiving. And he's speaking about, first of all, a little group. Two or three. If one was taken away from that number, it wouldn't be a group. You can't really go much lower in number to be able to call it. To be able to call it an assembly. Two or three. And I thought it was interesting that when the Lord Jesus was speaking about prayer and instructing his hearers about the church prayer meeting, he addresses two or three. He didn't say 200 or 300. He didn't say when 200 or 300 are gathered together. He just said we're 2 or 3 individuals. Yet the Lord makes it clear that where there are 2 or 3 faithful prayer warriors gathered together in the church, he says, I'll be there. I'll join you. There am I, in the midst of them. Now it can be very discouraging. It can be very discouraging when only 2 or 3 are gathered together for prayer. It can be discouraging. But then that is offset by the encouragement that the Lord says, well, I'll be there. Isn't that great? The Lord says, I will be there. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I. And I'm in the midst of them. I'm not sitting somewhere apart from them. I am in the midst of them. As though to encourage the 2 or 3 all the more. I'm not sitting at a distance from the 2 and 3. I'm in the very midst of the 2 and 3. And so, dear Christian, when we come together on a Wednesday night and there's just 2 or 3 of us, think of this, there's another person there. Next 4 of us. The Lord's there. Praise his name. And here the Lord promises to be with a little group. There are those today, and they wouldn't go near a church of small numbers. No, they want a big church. I have met people that have told me that very thing. My husband, one woman said, my husband doesn't like congregations. We would rather be a large congregation. Everybody likes to be in a large congregation. It would be nice to have a large congregation. But if you attend a church and you do so out of conviction, you'll not care how many's there. You'll not care if it's 2 or 3 or 200 or 300. You're there by conviction. For instance, there's no other place I would rather be than here today in the Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Why? Because I'm here by conviction. And where 2 or 3 are met together, the Lord says, I'm there. And there are those who say, I would rather have a big church and a large congregation. The Lord Jesus says, if there's 2 and 3 met together, I'll be with you. The Lord's happy to be with the two and the three. And I'll tell you what's more. I'll be in your very midst. I'll be at the center of your seasons of prayer. This, of course, is in stark contrast to those who are looking for the big church. The Lord's not embarrassed. The Lord's not ashamed to be numbered with a few of his brethren who meet for prayer. He doesn't distance himself from a small group of people. A small group made up of two or three. Rather, he's attracted to the two and the three. That's where he'll come to. We read in Hebrews 2 and verse 11 that he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And believer, think of it, when we meet for prayer and we look around and there's empty seats and there's just a few of us met for prayer, take heart, the Lord's with us. Take heart. The Lord delights to be with us and delights to be with the two and the three. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The little group. But there's more. There's a listening God. There may be the little group, but as we've already pointed out, God takes note of what happens in his churches. And two or three people meeting for prayer, there are many who wouldn't take them under their notice. But God does. Because God is listening to the prayers that go up from the heart and the lips of two or three people. Three of his children. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Two or three. The Father takes note. The Father doesn't overlook the prayers of that little group, that little assembly. He's listening to what they have to say. And when nobody else cares about what we say, the Lord cares. When nobody else cares about our burdens and our troubles that we come to pray about, the Father cares. Even though we're just two or three people, just two or three. Two or three people meet together for prayer would be despised by the world. Might even be looked down upon by professing believers. I have known one of our ministers. They told me that very thing. The family left and went elsewhere. And they try to recruit people out of the church that just left, one of our own congregations. I say, oh, you want to come to our church, the church we are going to now. It's a big church. You want to come with us? Sure, look at the church you're in there. There's not too many meeting. It's a small congregation. Why don't you come with us? That's true. It shows you how little they know of the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus is happy to spend time with the two or the three. There am I, he says, in the midst of them. And the Lord says, my Father is listening to what the two and the three say. And he will answer their prayers. And he will do for them what they ask. Even though you're just two or three. Now you see why I was so encouraged. And so blessed by the study of this passage. And of this text. And I thought of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. All. And that all includes the two or the three. You know, some people, of course, the devil's behind it. Some people think that very little or nothing can be accomplished by just two or three people praying. We may feel so isolated when there's only two or three of us. Yet we are told our Heavenly Father is nigh unto all them. And so, believer, let us never feel isolated. When we gather here and there's only two or three of us gathering for prayer, let us not feel isolated, because the Lord is nigh unto all them. Call upon, he's nigh, he's near to us. He doesn't leave us isolated. He's listening to the little group who are seeking his face and praying and bringing their burdens to him. Not only does he listen to those prayers ascending from the hearts of two or three, but he answers them. Verse 19. He answers. It shall be done for them. Great and mighty things can be accomplished through the prayers of just two or three. You've only to turn to Acts 16 to know that. Paul and Silas in prison. Just two of them. And at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And what happened? There was an earthquake. Through the prayers of two men, God sent an earthquake. And dear, today, through our meeting here on a Wednesday night, two or three of us, God can answer and send an earthquake to Port Hope, a spiritual earthquake that will awaken men and women to their need of Jesus Christ, awaken men and women to the reality of heaven and of hell. That can be accomplished by just two or three of us. Let's not be discouraged. Yes, we'd be encouraged to see more. We've been praying to that end. Lord, give us more prayer warriors. We'd love to see that. But when we do meet together, two or three of us, let's be encouraged, knowing that we can see great things done. And God will answer the prayers of just two or three. It shall be done by your Father which is in heaven. Notice then, secondly, not only the purpose of the assembly, but look at the partners in the assembly. Two or three. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there's the partners. Just two or three of them. But they're there for the one purpose, to pray. Now when you look at these partners speaking about this small church prayer meeting, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together. Here we notice that they are unidentified. Do you notice that? He just says, where two or three. Two or three what? He didn't say, where two or three preachers are met together, or two or three pastors, or two or three prophets are gathered together there am I in the midst. No, he says, where two or three are gathered together. In other words, he's talking about two or three people. Now think of something here. What is the Lord Jesus speaking about? He's speaking about the church prayer meeting. And sure we know that churches in general are made up of ordinary people. Not too many of our churches have millionaires as members. But rather, our churches are made up of ordinary people. Certainly speaking about our own church, we're just ordinary people. And we can take encouragement then from this, where two or three ordinary people are gathered together. The Lord says, I'm happy, I'm pleased to be in the midst of them. Because you see, that's the Lord's company anyway. The common people heard him gladly. And you look at the Gospels and you look at the people the Lord Jesus associated with. Isn't that the criticism that the old Pharisees raised? He's a friend of publicans and sinners. The Lord Jesus is a friend of ordinary people. And where the two and three are met together, the Lord says, there am I. I'm with you. Two or three ordinary people, two or three working people, two or three worried people, two or three weak people, two or three worshipping people, I'm there, I'm with you. What an encouragement this is. Now the Lord says, I'm with you. I'm there in the midst. Such an encouragement. Such an encouragement to the two or three prayer warriors who come together to seek the face of God. There am I in the midst of them. Isn't it wonderful to see how the Lord Jesus identifies with his people? No matter who they are, no matter who they may be, and how many there may be of them, he'll join them for prayer. There am I. They may come together from different backgrounds, but the Lord's there. They may come together with different burdens, but the Lord's there. They may come together fighting their different battles, but the Lord's there. Isn't it great that the Lord is there? Where the two and the three, they come together in the Lord's name as partners in prayer, sharing their burdens. Two of you agree on earth. That's a sharing. That's partnership in prayer. The Lord says, where there is this partnership, I am there in the midst of them. Not only do we notice they are unidentified, we notice also they are united. Notice what he says, for where two or three are gathered together, we come together to pray. We are united. Now you don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to be an intense Bible scholar to know this. That where there is division in a church, the Lord is not going to be there in the midst. He's not going to be in the midst of a bunch of believers that are fighting and engaging in backbiting. He's not going to be there, that's for sure. That's not his company. But he'll be with the two and three who gather together. gathered together for prayer. We are familiar with the verses we have been looking at in our evening study in the Acts of the Apostles. How on the day of Pentecost, the ordinary folk, the fishermen and wives and mothers and other brethren were there together. For we read in Acts 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were all together. One accord. That's agreement. They weren't fighting. They weren't bickering. They weren't backbiting. They were with one accord in one place. You go on down the chapter to near the end in the verse 44. "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Verse 46. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." And you go to the first verse of the next chapter. "And now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." So it continues. And we know what took place when the believers were together. The Holy Ghost came down. Thousands were saved. When God's people were together, were with one accord, you could say the Lord was in the midst of them. When Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, they went up together to pray. There was unity. And what was the result? Why, even before they got into the temple, they saw a man saved and healed by the power of Jesus Christ at the Gate Beautiful. And that's what happens when God's people are together. Things happen. One of our ministers was conducting a gospel mission in one of our churches back in Ulster. And the first week of the mission, he said things were hard and difficult and it's hard to preach. And he says there's something wrong in this congregation. And the second Sabbath day of the 3-week mission, he preached to believers and exhorted believers, if there are any differences between themselves, to get them sorted out before God. Because he told them, he says, "Your bickering and your fighting is hindering the blessing of this mission." And that Lord's Day, God's people got right with each other, set aside their differences and confessed their sin and apologized to one another. And the second and the third weeks of the mission, souls were saved. You see, the Lord wasn't in their midst the first week, but he was in their midst the second and the third week. And I have already mentioned the mission we had there a few weeks ago in Macrofelt. The thing that impressed me, among many other things, was the unity that there was in that church. It still is, of course. Was the unity amongst God's people. And it was highlighted one night in a very simple way. One of our dear sisters there, she looked after the visitors and made sure they got some refreshments before they went home. And they'd set up a mobile building. And that's where supper was served each night. And you'd go in there and you'd get your supper. And then this sister had another group of people ready to come in. And one night there were more than usual wanting to come in for supper. And she came into that, and she said to a number of the men, "Would you go outside and have your supper in the tent? Let these folk come in." Now, can you imagine how some people would have responded to that? That request, that it would have taken the huff. "What are you asking me? I'm just as important as everybody else." And they would have started a row, or taken the huff and said, "I'm not coming back here." No, those men who were asked, they took up their sandwiches and their cup of tea and they went out rejoicing. "Certainly, we'll go out. We'll go out and have a time of fellowship in the tent." There was no hint of division or bickering. Are people ready to take offense? You know how these people go about and they're looking to take offense. That was not in that church, and that's why there was such blessing for those 3 weeks. The numbers increased every night, and souls were saved, and God's people were blessed. And there was great rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord was in the midst. They were together. And they, with the Lord, where we read here of the two and three, gathered together in the midst. The Lord says, "I'll be in your midst." If you're gathered together, if there's unity amongst you, I'll be there. If there's not unity, I will not be there. How often have we heard the words of Psalm 133 quoted? One of the shortest Psalms. Psalm 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The margin reads it, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell even together." There's the word "together." Psalm 133, verse 1. It's good. It's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Notice, the oil never touched his flesh. So there was nothing fleshly about this gathering here that the psalmist spoke about. It went down from his head to his beard to his garments, never touched his flesh. For where there's fleshliness and division and bickering, it's all fleshly. Can't call it spiritual now. It's carnal. And verse 3 of the same psalm, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing." There, where? Where God's people were gathered together in unity. They had come together in unity. The Lord says, "There am I in the midst." That's what brings down the blessing. The Lord being in the midst. Finally, with regard to this point of the assembly, notice the place of the assembly, and we'll go through this quickly. The place of the assembly. If you look at the words again of our text, the Lord Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Where? Wherever two or three are gathered together. No matter where that little assembly gathers, no matter where two and three come together to pray, the Lord says, "I'm in your midst." Where? He means anywhere. Not just in a church building. But if two or three met together in a barn, and they met in the Lord's name to pray, the Lord is saying, "I'll be in that barn with you." If two or three get down on their knees in the kitchen in their home, the Lord says, I'll be there with you. If two or three get together in prison, as with Paul and Silas, the Lord says, I'll be there with you. Where two and three are gathered together in a hospital, and they come together to pray in the Lord's name, the Lord says, I'll be in your midst. It doesn't matter where you meet, whether it's a barn, whether it's your kitchen, whether it's a mountain, whether it's a hospital ward, I'll be there in your midst. I'll join you. The Lord was saying, wherever you choose to meet for prayer, might be a lowly place, might be a lonely place, could even be a little place. The Lord says, I'll be there in your midst. What did we sing this morning? William Cowper's hymn. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Even in that barn, it's hallowed ground because the Lord's there. For thou within no walls confined inhabitest the humble mind. Such ever bring thee where they come, and going take thee to their home. Lord, listen. Cowper got it right. He knew what he was talking about. Lord, we are few, but thou art near. Nor short thine arm, nor deaf thine ear. O rend the heavens, come quickly down, and make a thousand hearts thine own. Cowper knew what he was talking about. That is, there's just a few believers who meet in the Lord's name to pray. They can see the heavens rent and God coming down in power. Believer, take this word home with you today. Think of what the Lord has said. When we're gathered for prayer, whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Next Sabbath morning, we'll look at what it means to be gathered together in the Lord's name. What does that mean? And we'll be considering what it means also to have the Lord Jesus in the midst. Praise his name. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord and gracious God, we thank thee for the word. It's a good word, thy word. It's an encouraging word, is thy word. Lord, that has been an encouragement to my own soul. That whoever is there, whoever is not there, we are assured the Lord will be there if we meet in his name. He's not ashamed to meet with a few. He doesn't distance himself from the few. But we do rejoice that he comes. He's happy and delighted to be with his people, should there just be two or three. Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts. May it be a means of encouraging us. May it be a great encouragement, knowing when there's just a few of us, the Lord is with us. Now, Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Encourage us, Lord, as we make our way home. And encourage us tonight again as we come to the Lord's house. May we learn more from thy word and learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.